Hello and welcome to another episode of the FOMOcast. I'm Chris. I sound a little hoarse. My allergies are kicking my butt, but we're going to knock it out and you're going to enjoy my sultry sounds for now. I'm here with Tim. Say hello, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
But we're going to jump right into it because right before I got on here, I saw a trailer. I'm going to explain to him this trailer. So Josh Hartnett hasn't been seen for a while. He took a break. He wasn't acting for a while. Everyone knows him from Pearl Harbor. And he did, was it 30 Days of Night is what he was really known for when he was acting. And then he just kind of disappeared. He made a return in Oppenheimer. And he got a lot of recognition for that. Well, M. Night Shyamalan is back with a new movie called Trap. And this is insane. So Trap, what it's about is a serial killer takes his daughter to a concert and he gets trapped inside the concert. And when I was watching it at first, I'm like, oh, maybe he's going to kill someone in the concert or something. I don't know. Josh Hartnett is the serial killer. He has the name of the butcher who chops people up. So they're sitting at the concert and he goes, hey, honey, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Can I leave you here? And so he goes and was walking, and when he's walking, he sees cops everywhere, and he goes, this is weird. And so he's looking around, there's cops blocking all the exits, and he walks up to the concession stand, and he calls the dude selling merch over. He's like, hey, Cooper, and he tells him his name, they shake hands. He's like, hey, what's up with all the cops? He goes, I'm not supposed to say. And he basically tells them, he goes, don't let rat me out, but this concert's a setup. They basically know the serial killer, the butcher, is going to be here. And the exterior of the building is covered with SWAT. Like, it's just people in riot gear, all the exits. They're literally searching everyone as they walk out. It's crazy. And then it shows him going to a bathroom and he pulls up a camera and there's some dude tied up in his house. So it's like, it's insane. And it looks like, I mean, super devious. This is the first one I've seen from M. Night Shyamalan where I'm like, oh, I have to watch it because it looks like a great thriller, a thriller.
And I'm sorry, what was the name of it again?
Trap.
Trap.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder
if it'll connect to all the other ones.
No. That. But you said it was a music venue that they were at, not at a mall.
No, it was a music venue.
Oh, because remember, what was it? Was it earlier this year when all the police were around the mall and I was thinking and everyone thought it was the aliens? I'm like, ooh, I bet you if that was a shot for this movie, because a whole bunch of people were there.
No. This was an arena. It looks almost like Crypto.com arena. So I don't know if it's in LA or not. I can't really tell, but it looks fantastic. And Josh Hartnett looks great too. Like, I haven't seen him act in a lot, but yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I mean, it's M. Night Shyamalan, M. Night Shyamalan movie. So just wait for the twist.
It's going to be hard hit or miss. I know.
And I mean, it could be like anything, like a lot of his, well, I shouldn't say a lot of his movies, where you wait for the twist and, you know, three quarters of the movies is great. And then the last quarter is like, there's the twist type deal. But that's his style. Just like Tarantino has a style. Robert Rodriguez has a style. All these guys have a style. So.
Oh, but, and speaking of which, you just mentioned it. We don't have us on here either, but Quentin Tarantino has abandoned his scheduled film of The Critic. We don't know. He just doesn't want to do it anymore. So we don't know if he's going to do another one or if that was it. We don't know anything. We'll find out sometime in the future, but no information as of yet. Now in our regular schedule of stuff, first, U.S. representatives demand answers from Disney, Fox, and Warner Brothers about joint streaming venture. Now, the U.S. representatives, I think, are mad because, as we've mentioned before, while Disney does own the rights to the Fox movie department and television department of like shows like Family Guy and things like that. Watch The Simpsons, technically all of it. Fox does own the rights still to sports separate. So they have the sports on its own. So I think the U.S. representatives are worried that this is going to be some sort of monopoly in favor of Disney, because Warner Brothers, I mean, they, I don't know if they get, I think they might get some Final Four games in the very beginning, because CBS, you know, puts them on all the channels. So I don't know if there's some sort of benefit to this kind of stuff. So like the CW, but this is hilarious because somebody high up has NBC or something, and they're complaining to their U.S. representative. That's all this means. They're right. Complaining big time.
Right, exactly. And the funny thing is if FTC or anything hasn't stepped in yet, then it doesn't, you know, fall under anything like that, or it doesn't raise any questions with them. So if it's a U.S. representative, it's like, well, FTC hasn't said anything, so we, you know, good luck. We don't have to answer to you.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the big thing with it is, you know, obviously if you do have constituents who are like, this is going to be bad for local sports, whatever, which I mean, it has the potential to do that. But here's the big thing. You know, Apple has the MLS games. It doesn't do a great job of them. Paramount has some Premier League. They don't do a good job either. So maybe this will be something better, you know, make them step up their game, give us some better content. I don't know. I just don't like the fact that U.S. representatives are demanding answers when there's nothing for them to answer, because Disney is not stupid. They're not going to put their time and effort into something that they know that the FCC or someone is going to FCC or FCC are going to block, because they're saying they're going to have a monopoly. They're going to work it out. I mean, they didn't complain about Hulu. Whoever's complaining now, Hulu is majority owned by Disney. So,
right.
You know.
And the funny thing is, you know, it says U.S. representatives demand. It's two representatives.
Yeah.
One guy out of Democrat out of New York, Democrat out of Texas. They raised 18 questions and want them to answer it. And about the new offer on April 30, and copy the U.S. DOJ on their questions. Like, okay, no, well, good luck.
It doesn't make any sense, but it's okay. Right. This next one has been confusing when I first saw it. So Disney has launched the My Disney Unified Login Experience. I already have had this since it's for a long time.
Yeah, and that's why I put it in there, because I know when, you know, you had your...
My login issue. I changed the email on one, and then it changed it across the board, and I got confused because I was like, wait, because it's the same email for my Hulu, Disney Plus, Disney app for Disneyland, Disney.com, Disney Store, Disney World. For those that don't know, you used to have a different password for Disneyland and Disney World, and now they're all the same.
Yeah.
But they've been the same for me. And I think it's one of those things they rolled out in phases, where I think if you changed your password at one point, it just did this. I haven't tried going to the My Disney Experience, but they're basically saying all it is just a hub that goes to everything. That's all it is.
Yep, exactly. Which is a lot. Well, I mean, they're all connected together, and I didn't know that until you had your issues. And like, oh, I finally figured it out that now I could log it. I had to change this one because of this reason, but now I can't log into this one. But they're all connected, and like you said, it's just new systems simplify the experience by limiting the need to manage different passwords for various Disney-related accounts, such as Disney Plus, Hulu, ABC, ESPN, and the Disney theme parks. So, but like you said. You know, with all, if you have all of those together, you got to, if you change your email or you got hacked or anything like that, it's going to change it on all of those.
All of them.
If you have Disney Plus, Hulu, ABC, and ESPN on your TV or, you know, streaming devices or whatever, and you have it log in, well, then you got to go back and log out. I mean, would have to redo it the next time you go in to it. And
I did say it. I questioned it a lot. I was like, wait, I have to send my password again. And then I was afraid to go to it because I'm like, well, this is just going to cause problems. But then I saw like 30 people commenting going, it didn't maybe change anything. They're like, I've been doing this for months. What is going on? And I think it was just they officially announced that because a lot of people probably didn't know. And how many people do you think were dumb like me and had the same password and email for everything? So it already was all the same to begin with.
Right, right. No, exactly. And I'm on the website right now. And oh my gosh, there is, you forget how much that Disney has. And like you said, on the parks, almost basically every single one, I mean, every single park has its own basically app to it, including even the Play Disney, Disney Cruise Lines, D23, Alani, all of that. You know, ESPN, I play fantasy. It's on ESPN. Guess what? That's another app on it. So there's just a lot on it, and it got rolled out on April 16th. So it's already out.
Yeah, it's already out. But like I said, I've been dealing with this the whole time.
Right. Now, but like you said, where you had to go to each individual one, now it's in one spot.
Yeah, so basically I'm on it right now. I wanted to check it out. So it said new login to my Disney. Okay, yeah, okay. And it's insane that this is crazy. So Hulu, ESPN Plus, ABC, ABC News, National Geographic, Nat Geo TV, Freeform, FX Now, and then basically every park, and it includes Aulani Resort, Disney Cruise Lines, D23, Club 33, the Play app, Disney Store, Disney's Resorts, Disney Gift Card, ESPN, ESPN Fantasy, ESPN Footy Tips, and this was the one I didn't even think about. They have the Star Wars app now, Marvel Unlimited, Marvel Movie Insiders. It's the Run Disney, Disney Institute, Disney Weddings, all the ABC 7s, ABC 13. It's like, it's insane how many it does. ABC 30, yours is on there too.
Yeah.
It did not make me change it, but what I will say, what I do like about it is I don't like the fact they don't have two-factor authentication for this. But what they do have is basically, how would I put it? You have the ability to, I don't know, keep track of everything. And then legitimately now, what I do like about this, I'm telling now, is I could just go to this one and change all my passwords. And it does have a direct feature to log out of all accounts. Yep. So it says, if you think someone logged into your account, log out of all accounts. So that is pretty cool. I'm okay with that. What I will say, though, is this is going to be people freaking out because, you know, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know if you've been getting the emails lately about all the changes they're making with privacy stuff and how they use your data. And they basically have to inform you, hey, we're not using your data for this. They have to explain to you how they use your data now in California. So, yeah, it's very interesting. This is crazy. And then even in the thing, it says My Disney lets you seamlessly log in to services and experience across. What I will say is, what I do like about that is the fact that on a larger scale, if you are going somewhere, and let's say me and Tim are going together to Disneyland and we want to watch some local sports on ABC 30, whatever, we want to find out what's going on in Fresno. When you log into your phone on that one, when you pull up all the other apps, automatically log in. So if anything is logged out, it's already set up on your phone on those. So I do like that aspect of it. I didn't know about that, but I was like, that's pretty, you know, cause we already talk about it all the time. We knew this was kind of coming. And like we said, like you said, I've already been dealing with this for, 2013, and I keep forgetting that I had a different email kind of thing, but this right here to streamline things. So if you think you have a problem, you just bam, gone. And I'm sure they'll probably do a My Disney app eventually, and they're going to try and merge everything with it, probably.
Right.
Yeah. Because the bad thing is, it's a bad name. Because they have the My Disney Experience app for Disney World.
Right.
So they're probably going to change that. Not good. But you guys get on there, you use it, let us know how you like it, because I like things that make things easier for me, because I'm a follower. I don't want to have to control everything. You know, I'm already stressed out as it is. So let's excuse me, make it easier on me. Next, we have 15 employees have reportedly been cut from Marvel, who were junior employees at Marvel Studios production and development arms. Now, here's the thing. I understand people can get frustrated. I understand there's a lot of stuff that people don't really understand. And I'm okay with people asking questions because it's important. The big problem that we run into is that if you truly want to know what's going on, you need to look at their job postings. We've talked about this multiple times. And when you look at the job postings, what you see is that sometimes they let these people go for them to go to join a different department or do something different. You got to remember, it's just Marvel. They could go to the Fox wing. They could go to all these different wings of the company. Hopefully they'll land on their feet. The way all the websites were posting it, it was like, oh, layoffs at Marvel, and it was 15 people. So it was nothing to freak out about or go crazy. It still does suck, but it's not what they,
Right. Well, and especially with Disney, when they went through and laid off a lot of people once Iger came back from the Chapek era and whatnot, and kind of restructured it a little bit. Especially coming out of the pandemic, you don't need a lot of people. That was, you know, whether it be working from home or kind of how the pandemic probably altered or created some new jobs just due to the nature of the pandemic.
Right.
And Disney still having to, you know, be a company and run. But this one, you know, it's like, oh my gosh. And of course they had like the picture of Iger up there, whatnot, and thinking it was going to be, you know, hundreds of people. And then I looked at the Googled it, and I'm like, oh, it's 15 people. I mean, it does stink whether it's 15, 1500 or one. If you're the one, it's like, really, right. It's me.
Right.
But you know, it does. It seems like that they were, you know, junior employees in the production and development arm. So that could have been, hey, we thought we were going to do this movie, it didn't work out or whatever it is, and now, you know, your services are no longer needed type deal. But
right,
the nice thing is you worked for Marvel, so you got that on your resume, which would help you out in the Disney company no matter where you go.
Yeah, exactly. Once you're a person in the company, it makes it fairly easier to get into a job.
As long as your rehire status is good.
Yeah, exactly. So fingers crossed, you know, I will say there is a website on Facebook. I can't remember who it is, but they've been blasting, like, they're very deep into the Disney stuff and Marvel and like all the kind of fandoms. And whenever someone posts an article that says like layoffs at a company, they'll put it right on the title, 15 people laid off. Like they cut the BS out. And I think they were getting frustrated, like a lot of people do, where a company will say something or like, you know, Rotten Tomato, they'll say something crazy. And you're like, well, no, if you actually read the article fully, that's not what's being said. Lad Bible is a bad one for that right now. Like, they post something and all the comments just tell you what it says, because they waste your time reading this BS article for no reason.
Yep. They want you to click it so they get that unique view, that unique impression, and then it's like, oh, hold on, wait, or it's like, hold on, but read the comments. Oh, right. Perfect. There we go.
Exactly. This next one's awesome. When Tim shared this with me, I was like, what is he sending me? What is this? And then I watched it. First, I thought he sent it to me because the guy was wearing a Roosevelt shirt. That's why I thought you sent it to me in the beginning.
Oh, I didn't even pay attention to the shirt.
He's wearing a Roosevelt, and I was like, oh, Tim wants to send me because of Roosevelt. But what it was is Pixar created an entire virtual set of Riley HQ for Inside Out 2. And what this basically means is they, like, shot the movie. And so they made a set in virtual reality for the scenes to take place, and they use basically like an iPad type of feature where they could pick up what they wanted to. And what's insane, when you watch the video, they flat out say, you'll see stuff right now that won't even appear in the movie because the set is massive in the virtual reality. And they're just picking bits and pieces of what they're recording in there. And it showed the guy walking around. He could spin around, and it showed everything around the whole entire HQ. It was awesome.
And Riley's HQ is the one that has in her brain that has the control board layout and everything. That's what, because I'm like, okay, what's Riley HQ? I'm like, oh, that's what it is where you see all the emotions at behind the board. Yep. So it's basically like the void, but virtual reality, and what you're and how you view it is through the iPad, because I mean, it's not in.
Right. And you're not using goggles. You're not using goggles because what they actually do is they wanted to approach it like they were filmmaking, yep. Which is so awesome to me. I mean, it's so cool.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, if they did it this way, you could throw wand goggles and then you just see it through that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But that's cool to show that.
It was interesting to see just because I was like, maybe, like, you know, I was like, I don't know.
Because, about it, you're going to have to make it in, they're going to have to be three-dimensional no matter what. You know, it can't be 2D because you're going to have to turn around. They have shapes to them and whatnot.
Right.
So right. You're going to have to, and you always see when they animate them, they're always turning the person around and looking at this, looking at that. So it makes sense.
It is something that I don't know, like, I never thought I would see the technology, you know what I mean? Like, that's, like, I get virtual reality, but the way they did it, it was just insane.
Right. Yep.
Because I mean, like we said, it's like they're shooting the actual movie.
Yep.
It's just, it's so cool. Next, we have Avatar The Last Airbender movie has casted Eric Nam as adult Aang and Dave Bautista as a villain. Now, we don't know. I want to say this is going to be animated and it has an adult Aang. So it was one of those things where they were kind of like, oh, we're going to create this thing, basically. Excuse me. Where... they basically, the realm of what they talk about in Avatar: The Last Airbender, I believe there is some comic continuity where they basically show what adult Aang looks like and things of that nature. So I was like, okay, that's really cool, you know, seeing this, but. I will say, like, I don't know. I am still up in the air about it because I don't know honestly how I feel about Avatar: The Last Airbender. I hear the show on Netflix is fantastic, but I mean, we'll see. We will see how it goes. They're still just doing the casting, but people are excited about Dave Bautista. Jim Carrey is returning for Sonic the Hedgehog 3 with CinemaCon teaser. We also got news that Keanu Reeves will be joining the universe as well. And they told Idris Elba, and he was like, wait, what? like he was all excited because he plays Knuckles and he was like stoked. And he's like, we're gonna work with Keanu Reeves. He goes, this is awesome. So I'm excited for that. The former DCEU boss is gonna produce the R-rated Ninja Turtle movie based on The Last Ronin. The Last Ronin is that basically one turtle is left. He has all their weapons on their back, and he goes around just vigilante style killing people to stop crime. It's insane. Like, there was an event, I can't remember what it was, but they were showing trailers from everything. So from Paramount Plus, from Disney Plus, all this stuff. And this was the one that everyone was like, what the heck? Like, all the comic nerds were like, they've been begging for this for like 2 years. They go, this will be amazing. And then someone's done like a fan-made trailer of him laying their weapons out and things like that. It looks awesome. And a lot of people don't know you can get those turtle costumes are actually expensive, but they do have ones that look very realistic that they could film. And a lot of people have been making these fan-made trailers, and now we're getting it, and that's awesome.
Right.
We also, the Fallout TV series, which I am one episode from finishing, has been renewed for season 2. I do know the way that it ends. I don't know how it ends, but they said it is a cliffhanger. But that the way they did it, for those that don't know, the way the format the show goes is it's 2277 in present day, but it does flash back to 2077 when everything started. And it is this cool thing where it kind of, all the characters, they have their own kind of story. Some of them cross, you know, some of them don't, but you do get to have like a cool kind of interaction. There is a ton of people that do cameos in this. It's insane. It's ridiculous. I saw like 7 people. I'm like, wait, I know that person. I know that person. I know that person. And it's like legitimately like for 7 to 8 minutes total on the whole season. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I will say, for anyone who's on the fence, it is kind of gory. But if you like Walter Goggins, you got to watch what he's in. Because Walter Goggins is amazing in everything he does. My favorite ever, which got me excited about him, was Major League Back to the Minors. Love that movie. Everyone, a lot of people hate it. I love it. Scott Bakula, you're the man. But they have been renewed for season 2 already. So we're going to get it on Prime Video. Who knows how long it's going to be, because it was a very expensive show to shoot because it's apocalyptic. So it's not like you can just go out there and make stuff. But I'm excited for it because I want to see the story continue. And I didn't play a lot of Fallout, but I've played some of it. And it's just, I don't know, it's a lot of fun.
Right, and that's what everyone says, is that the TV series did a good job with it, even, for the video, you know, did it justice for the video game, and that everyone, you know, enjoys the video game as well.
Yeah, there's actually, like, the way they did the callbacks to the game are very subtle. Like, legitimately blink and you miss them, but the way that you should do when you do a video game movie. So I'm excited for it, and yeah. Next we have, this was crazy. So Netflix has added 9 million more subscribers. I think they said they're at like 247 million subscribers now, and they've added 9 million in the first quarter, and they will stop reporting subscriber numbers next year. So, basically, what they're doing is they're trying to show, look, we got rid of password sharing and we're adding this many numbers. I don't know if they're trying to show it to other people. Hey, password sharing crackdown works. It works great. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I have a feeling that it's, I don't know. I think it's going to do them well. They do have a lot of stuff. They're getting Reba. They just got Killing Eve. The contracts they're making are insane on these shows. Shows they should not be getting, they're getting. So
right, exactly. Well, that and a lot of comics are doing their thing on it as well.
Yep.
So you have that. You have that aspect as well. You know, they're the specials that they do on it, which is, you know, which is huge.
Well, and I have heard that from multiple people that, like all the podcasts I listen to, that the way to make money now as a comic is literally either being on Netflix or doing your own thing and paying for it and putting it on YouTube. That's literally the way you make money now, because yep, you have to either be a touring comic or, you know, in a movie, and that doesn't happen. So right, that's what they're saying to do. So I'm happy they are giving people, you know, the opportunity to do this, especially Netflix is pretty great.
Right.
This last one, we had to bring it up. It is sports related, but as Tim and I discussed beforehand, it's not good. It's not a good look. So the NBA has announced that Jonte Porter has received a lifetime ban for violating the league's gaming rules. I found out it's even worse than I thought it was at first. So the original statement said that he gave information about him being hurt or being not 100% to a person that he knew was a better, and that person passed on the information to another guy who put the bet on the game, and he bet a lot of money. I think it was like a couple $100,000 that he would underperform to win at like $1.something million. And then I found out he was placing bets himself. So
not good.
The problem is, I'm going to bring up the Ohtani thing after we talk about this, because some stuff has come out. I don't know if Tim has heard about this, but it's devastating to the interpreter on the Ohtani thing. But P. Rose is upset because, you know, all these people getting caught cheating, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's the problem. Even if you said you don't bet on your sport, I only bet on my team, I always thought that's kind of BS. He always bet on his team. He didn't always bet on his team, though. There was days he didn't bet on his team. And that's the problem. If you think your team's not going to win and you don't bet, are you giving 100% to try and get your team to win? If you have that no bet on there and you're like, well, if they win, I don't make any money, that's tough. So when it comes to the Ohtani aspect of it, I don't know if Tim heard this, you know, Jonte Porter, lifetime ban, gone forever. This is insane. Apparently, they have recordings of the interpreter calling the bank, pretending to be Ohtani, and talking to them. And this is what's crazy. He knew that he wouldn't know about that account because Ohtani didn't touch that account for 3 years. This was like just a savings account. It was not an account to use. Multiple interpreters throughout the league have said it's very common for you to carry their checkbook, their wallet, because you're their right hand. You with them 24/7. Right. You're always with them. You're like a human purse basically for them, because you carry a bag. Excuse me. They also have like Ohtani gave him his phone. He's like, do a forensic thing. So the FBI, and one person has said, look, I could get it if it was just the MLB saying this, but it's the FBI, the DOJ, the MLB, and local police are saying he. So you do know how elaborate of a thing it would be to collaborate on that. I know people want to see Ohtani get deemed. It's not going to happen now, especially with the wiretaps, which is insane. And also, they have proof of text messages of the dude, the bookie, texting the interpreter saying, I see Ohtani walking his dog. Do you want me to go and tell him what you're doing? So, like, there's so much incriminating stuff. And I believe early on, people thought it was not true. But the bookie did say he knew it wasn't Ohtani betting. But because it was coming from Ohtani's accounts, he would tell other bettors that Ohtani is betting with him. So, and for those that don't know, the money coming in, that's why there was a tap on the bank that Ohtani used, is because they were investing this bookie. They didn't care about anyone placing the bets. They wanted to get the bookie. And they had taps at all these banks and stuff where people were transferring money because it was wire transfers. So it doesn't pay to bet. California, I think we're probably, what do you think, like 5 years from online betting here, probably?
I don't know. They had that proposition or whatnot that got pretty much really struck down.
Oh, yeah.
What was it, last year, I think?
Yes.
But the thing is, I mean, you can bet in California if you go to those, you know, online, offline type, you know, offshore type deals. You could put bets in that way. But, you know, if you get hacked, well, yeah, because, you know, there's always ways around it. But,
yep.
I mean, it's California. It's really stringent. You know, I'm sure, will we get it? Yes. When? Dude, I don't know.
I think if we can get the Indian Gaming Commission to agree to something, because that's the problem, is they know if online gambling or online betting becomes to California, it's only a matter of time before online casinos come to the town. And for instance, I didn't even know about this. I listened to a podcast called We Hate Movies. They're all based out of New York. And there's this commercial they love because they talk about their grandpa on this commercial who loved to go to Atlantic City, but now he can sit on his home and gamble in his pajamas. And it's like, I get that. So once the Indian Gaming Commission gets their cut of this, I think they'll push for it. There will be some sort of thing. But here's the thing. They have daily fantasy betting right now. You can do it. Is it through FanDuel or DraftKings? One of them in California.
All of them have it.
But not all of them you can do it in California.
Oh, yeah.
There's only certain ones you can do in California. I think it's FanDuel.
That's how, if you want to bet, that's
on. It's tough. It's
sports booking. It's not even sports booking. It's fantasy because you don't know what's going on.
You're legitimately betting. It's like Mookie Betts goes 3 for 4. Like, and most of them, if you look at them, the only way you make money is like the 5-leg parlays. That's the only way you make money. And
yeah, you make a decent amount of money.
It's ridiculous. It's like, it's averages, it's hits, it's walks. Like, it's just random stats that I believe most casinos have gone away from betting on because it costs too much money to kind of figure out those odds.
To keep that up. Yeah. And especially if you have it online already, those direct you online.
Exactly. So
to go there.
And I will say, I think also people complain too, because with casino betting, like, let's say for instance, Tim is an A's fan and Tim wants to bet $100 on the A's making the playoffs. Well, let's say Tim knows, look, they got this guy hurt, this guy hurt, this guy hurt. He's going to wait until right before they come back because the odds are probably going to be as far apart as they're going to be. So they go from 1,000-to-1 odds to 2,000-to-1 because they got a bunch of guys hurt. That doesn't happen with the apps we do now in California. It's just a flat out, it's whatever to what odds that they're going to go 4 for 4 because it's daily. They reset the odds every day. So, I think the big problem people have right now is that they're banning these guys for betting. And yet they're talking about this with Ohtani. And one of the main sponsors for one of the MLB teams is a sports betting app or a company. So you're like, you're taking their money. Because I think, excuse me, I am pretty sure you can gamble in the MLB. You can gamble in the MLB through legal means.
What do you mean gamble? Like a MLB player can gamble?
They can gamble. They cannot gamble on MLB. NFL has the rule there's no gambling at all. But I believe Major League Baseball, you can gamble. You just cannot gamble on baseball. I don't know how they prove that kind of stuff. But, because NFL has it right. Because they're like, what if you're best friends from a dude that plays for a basketball team? You know? You're CJ Stroud and you play for the Texans and your best friend's on the Houston Rockets. How do you know he doesn't tell you something? And then all of a sudden the odds start swinging the other direction because everyone's betting some random bet that doesn't make sense and it comes through. You know, that's why a lot of people don't know this. When you make the bet on if someone's going to streak at the Super Bowl, don't be the person who streaks, because that voids your bet. Just so you know, because it happens right. Every year. Every year it happens, and every year someone goes to jail with no money. So
right, yeah, exactly. Or they find out 2 weeks later, oh hey, that's what happens. Like yeah, you can't do that.
One guy did it, and I remember they were like, oh yeah, he won this much, and I'm like, no, that's not the way it works. If you look at the rules of the sports book, literally it tells you if any outside factors influence this bet, it null and voids the bet. And the outside factor is that you and your friends all placed the bet and would have wiped them out. That doesn't work. You know, it's the same reason why if you hit a big win on a slot machine, they can say it was a malfunction, take the money for you. That's why they went to the digital stuff. That's why they don't do the coins anymore, because the coins won't lie. The coins will just cash out. The other ones, they have to call you. A tenant has to come, and they can say, oh, it was a malfunction.
Right, which is, I think, is BS, because it's like, that's your machine. You got to keep it up to date. It's not my fault.
It is. And, like, for those of you that don't know, too, is that Tim and I actually learned this at his bachelor party from one of the waitresses in the casino. The high-dollar ones hit the most often because people don't play as much. And you want the single-line bet because you're not gambling all these different little side bets. You're just gambling one. And Tim did win big on that. But those on digital machines, they actually have the ability to change the odds. And I believe the Gaming Commission of Nevada will rank you based on your odds of winning. So basically, you could know I think it's actually like public record on what the odds are on the machines. And you can look it up somewhere, because the Nevada Gaming Commission actually has to keep record, because they can't be under a certain percentage. And that's why they do check those machines. That's why they do monitor them, things like that.
Right. But basically, at the end of the day, to bring it back around, you know what you're getting into when you're a professional athlete, and whether, you know, Pete Rose, Porter here, whatever, you knew the rules and you broke them, and that's your punishment pretty much at the end of the day. You know, whether, you know, Pete Rose was the coach when he did it, but once again, it's like, did you do it? Yes. Well, that's illegal. It don't matter how you did it or when you did it. Same thing with this. Did you do it? Yeah. Or was it done in this way? Yes. Well, that's illegal. So here you go. And especially in gambling, I mean, we've seen it. This is the second big one. It's not a year, 5 year. It's a straight lifetime ban. And in Pete Rose, since he was manager, he ain't getting the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And the saddest part is his brother. So Jontay's brother is Michael Porter Jr., who plays for the Denver Nuggets. And actually, I think he actually is on the Nuggets. Whereas Jontay is kind of, he's bounced around. So he was in the G League quite a bit. He started off this year with the Raptors, and then he went to the Raptors 905 because they removed him for the investigation. He's only 24, man. And it's sad. It's so sad because, like, I don't know, man. You hope that you wouldn't throw your life away like that. But, I mean, yeah.
Yep. I mean, and yeah, on the other thing is why, you know, why would you do it?
Exactly. Well, on to the more exciting stuff, we have our gaming pile. The first one, literally in the time that it took me to post the article, they already got an update on that day. Ubisoft has already come under fire for the single-player game Star Wars Outlaws having a season pass, but fans are expressing the frustration upon noticing its highly anticipated Jabba the Hutt mission is locked behind the season pass. So people were freaking out. Like, obviously.
Well, and just really cool. The season pass, there's like two of them. One's like $60 and one's like $100 or something like that.
Yeah, so you
can. I saw it's not like one season pass.
If you get the $109 game, it comes with everything. It comes with the season pass, all the skins, blah 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 blah. What they're trying to do really is they have the Ubisoft subscription service where you get all the games from Ubisoft for $17.99 a month. And the thing is okay, it's $109. I'll get it for $17.99 and play it for 1 month. That's not the way games work. You want to keep playing it, or you forget about the $17.99.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly.
10 months later, you spent $179 on a game that you played three times.
Yeah. So that you played for 1 month.
Right. So, which I do need to go back to playing Starfield in that case, but I digress. It is a way for them to make money. And I'm not going to lie, Ubisoft does a great job. I actually updated my account and then logged into my stuff to make sure I have everything ready because, you know, I want to make sure, you know, I actually had someone try to hack that account too. So I was trying to deal with that. And I am going to play it. I am going to let them, because what's funny is someone made the joke. They were like, just give me the $110. I'll come in your front yard. I'll walk around with like a chicken, and then I'll bark at you or whatever, and then I'll give you your $109 back because that's a waste of your money. Because the bugs are extraordinary when it first starts.
Right, and they were saying with this one is that it's other Jabba the Hutt missions, or you know, the Hutt missions. That is behind the paywall, so it's not the one that they were talking about. So it's just other missions that you can, other bounty missions that you can get from the Hutts.
Right, yes. So they're basically, the initial one is still behind the paywall, but you do have the opportunity to, you know, get into it.
Right.
But I am excited for it because it does look like a great game. I mean,
right.
It's literally, and it's, I don't even know. Like, it's basically about a female. I don't even know. I'm a little confused about what she does, because technically they make it sound like she's not a bad person. She's, she does something and makes somebody mad. But then they like go, oh, if you do this, we'll clear your debt kind of thing.
Right.
So I'm like, okay.
I mean, like with any game, they just need upkeep on the maintenance and the bugs on it and keep it, especially with it being open world and Star Wars.
Yeah.
To keep the success going.
Right. And I do like anything Star Wars, so I'll go with it. Next, this one is hilarious. So the CEO of Pocket Pair has accused Chinese game companies of making Palworld clones, says that their budgets are 10 times larger than Palworld's. Palworld is the game that was a ripoff of Pokemon.
A Pokemon with guns.
Yeah. So it just, I don't know, man. I honestly don't know. It's,
well, the thing is it's like with anything. Palworld had, you know, a lot of success, and now everyone is going to, whether that crowd is still there or not, if you do another one or something similar to that, is, you know, everyone's gonna try to jump on it and,
yep,
and make their 2 cents on it. Mm-hmm. And strike while the iron's hot. But is that iron still hot? I don't know either,
because like we've said before, like, there's a lot of times where there's things that get done and people get mad. Like, I get why he's mad, because, hey, you know, he has a legitimate gripe. But it's hard to when you look at what they're doing and what people are trying to, like, I think even South Park made fun of it on an episode. That's what they're doing. It's just you know, what do they say? How do you say it? The form of flattery. What is that saying? Imitation is the
greatest form of flattery.
Greatest form of flattery. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm just kind of like, hey, look, just deal with it. I do get why he's upset, because, you know, this is probably going to kill his game. His game was going great. I don't think they're doing anything crazy to, they're not doing anything dramatic, if you know what I mean. Like, they're not doing great updates. They're not doing none of that stuff. So it is what it is.
Right.
So, next, Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro Gaming president steps down. Now, Wizards of the Coast, they're the ones behind Dungeons and Dragons. And a lot of people, they want to know, like, what is going on with this. You know what I mean?
Right. And I wonder, I mean, it seems like it wasn't a planned step down.
No.
Yeah, which is effective in a week from now. Yeah, it says no specific reason has been publicly offered for her departure, which is effective April
26th. It's weird because everyone's like, well, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, that's just super weird.
And it could be anything. She could have some health issues. She could just have gotten, hey, I'm done with it. Something else could happen. Who knows? Family issues, health issues.
Yeah.
She got a better offer somewhere else. Who knows?
I mean, you don't know. You'll never will know, because, you know, that's just the way it is. But we will probably find out somewhere in the future, and then we're going to be like, oh, that makes sense. And then that's what's going to do it. So,
right.
And then I will say, I just checked. It's $129 for the top tier of that Ubisoft game. It's crazy, man. Now on to other amusement parks. Guest climbs Skull Island Reign of Kong sign for photo.
And this was like a teenage kid. It wasn't like a drunk person or an adult or whatnot. And the Skull Island queue, or this looks like a rock formation. I mean, it's probably a good 15 feet up there on where he went. So not the smartest thing to do.
No, that's a good way to get yourself banned for life.
Yeah, banner. Luckily, didn't fall and really mess something up.
Yeah, that's for sure. Also, a guest with confirmed case of measles reported at Universal Studios Hollywood. Really?
Smart.
That's not good. Lastly, for other parks, Universal Studios Hollywood announces the Fall Guy pre-show at Waterworld. So, obviously, it's going to be a stunt show. So,
right, and the Fall Guy is obviously the movie, so, which is based on stuntmen, so it's perfect for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, on to the Disney pile. General, upcoming Princess Tiana book by voice actress teases Tiana's Bayou adventure ride, which is what they usually do. Is they usually have some sort of ride that it's a book that explains the ride, like a guide, you follow through it, which looks pretty cool. I like that.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, once again, like we were saying, striking while the iron's hot. So the iron is warming up and will be hot here probably within the next couple weeks, if not next month.
Yep, exactly. Should know something. We have more info about Tiana, you know, pretty soon, because we have some stuff down further. Next, we got a first look at 2024 Haunted Mansion Hallmark ornaments. You know, whatever. Now, I'm not big on the ornaments, but yeah, I think they always do a pretty good job with a lot of stuff like that. Like, the ornaments always look amazing. They always, it's pretty cool how Hallmark works so well with Disney, and there's so many other companies that don't want to do it. I will say, I find it odd that I don't know who gets to pick. I wonder who gets to pick the ornaments. Do you think Disney does, or does Hallmark say, oh, this is what's going to happen?
I wonder if Disney gives them like a list. Like, here you go, you do these, but stay away from these ones because, you know, there are pride and joy or something like that. I don't know. Or like you said, Hallmark says, here's what we're thinking. Here's some, you know, initial sketches, and they go through and either, you know, give it a check mark or, you know, red X it out. So I don't know. That would be interesting to see. But the nice thing is, like you said, with Hallmark, they do a heck of a job on it. And they are usually pretty good at doing, you know, either one or two kind of bigger pieces. And then, you know, everything else is like your stereotypical ornament type size, and then maybe right, a couple smaller pieces. But yeah, on this one, it's the tree topper is the is the mansion in I think it's Disney World. It looks like it's not Disneyland, and that doubles as a tree topper or an ornament. They got Constance Hathaway, the Hatchet Bride, with a veil over it, and then a light that lights up that has like she's holding the hatchet in front of her face. The singing bus, and it looks like it has a button that you press as interactive. Does it have him? Oh, here we go. Singing bus, caretaker and his dog. Yeah, Constance Hathaway ornament. And there was the organ player, the person in the coffin that's trying to get out, Madame Leota's head, and then they have just the Haunted Mansion like oval plaque that says the Haunted Mansion on it. And it looks like most of these, except for that Haunted Mansion, the oval plaque are interactive, as in they either light up or they talk or sing. So it's pretty cool. But the thing is, I mean, they're not cheap. Singing bus are $45. Caretaker and his dog is $40. $40 for Constance Hathaway. So,
I mean, they've never been cheap.
No, and like I said, I mean, it's a good product on it, so it's definitely worthwhile. But yeah, if you're a completionist and want the whole set, it's gonna set you back. Well, but if that's what you do, and you know, have at it. And the nice thing is usually when they come out with these lines, it's not like one or two pieces, it's like five or six pieces. So, you know, you could decorate half your tree with, you know, if you have a little tree shoot, you could decorate the whole tree with them.
See, I don't know about you, Tim, but I remember being a kid and getting the catalog.
Yep. And circling the ones that you want.
Circling the ones you wanted. And I got my favorite I have still to this day is I have Princess Amidala's Naboo ship from Star Wars The Phantom Menace. I have a G.I. Joe guy that's holding a bag running for the plane to get back on the plane to go to World War II. And I have Scooby-Doo and Shaggy, and you turn this little twister thingy, and Scooby-Doo and Shaggy's legs run really fast.
Oh, like they're scrambling. Oh,
like cool. They're scrambling, yeah. So, yeah, I think that's pretty, you know, it's an experience. Let's just say that.
Right, exactly. And, you know, they were different, like you said, when we were kids versus now and whatnot, on them.
Yeah. Yeah. Next, new Disney Eats ice cream merchandise collection coming May 2024. I had a feeling something like this was coming because they've been talking, they're doing a lot of stuff with food. Their whole right. one section was just food styled stuff. So the spirit jerseys, everything are food related.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
And lastly, in the general pile, a petition by disabled people opposes Disney's discriminatory Disney disability access service updates.
And you probably knew you were going to get that with the update. Whether it's they have a legitimate case or it's just people trying to make a couple bucks, whether that be the people or the lawyers on it. But I'm pretty sure Disney wouldn't do it and roll it out the way that they did without vetting it. And the other thing is they have, who's the third party? Inspire? Is that the health one?
I believe so.
Is that they're the ones basically going, like, asking the questions and going through that because that's their line of work. So, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we will see for sure. And then on to the cruise line side, Coast Guard medevacs pregnant passenger from Disney cruise ship, Disney cruise line ship. That was the coolest video I have seen in a very long time. It was legit.
Right. And when I first saw it, I'm like, what the heck is going on? Because it looked weird. Obviously it was out of place, but I thought there was right. something more else so going on.
Yeah.
Especially like how the front of the boat, it's like sunken in. It looks like it has like a pool or something there, or whatnot. So it just looked weird.
It looked weird. It didn't look right, especially because and it also looked like they were having rough seas too. So it wasn't
right.
It wasn't very stable. So it did make it look quite a bit different than what we normally see when you see like people hopping onto a cruise ship and whatnot.
Right. Exactly. And this literally just happened like 2 days ago.
Yeah, so we're recording this on Thursday. I will be editing it tonight. And so this will be out on Friday. And yes, it's pretty insane what these dudes did. I want to know what was wrong with her. Not saying anything, you know, there's nothing wrong with them having to do it. That stuff happens. Like, you can't plan, you know. I don't want someone to feel like they're held hostage because they can't go on a cruise. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't want someone to feel like that. So things happen, but it would be interesting to know like what was actually going on.
Right, especially for her to medevac out. On it. Because
I mean, it's
something bad, and it could have been something minor, but since she's with child, who knows?
And I mean, we don't even know because, like, how close were they to the land? Because
they were 150 miles out.
Because I met someone who actually developed a heart condition, and because of the heart condition, he could no longer be. He used to do the long haul ships that go from like the West Coast all the way over to China and back. And it would take like 6 months to get there.
Yeah.
And they said, well, you can't do this anymore because your heart condition, you will die before anyone.
Gets here. If you're in the middle of the ocean, you're done. So, by the time they can even get someone there.
So I know that most of these cruise ships just go barely out to international waters. So that basically they can get away with like some of the gambling and whatnot, but be interesting to know what she had going on.
Yeah, I couldn't see anything. Just as that they were 100 miles northwest of Puerto Rico in the Atlantic Ocean,
Yeah, well, hopefully she doesn't go to Puerto Rico for the doctor, because that wouldn't be fun.
Yeah, I don't know if she did go. I can't remember where she went. She obviously did go, somewhere down there, to obviously treat her and get her stable.
Well, it's a memory she'll have for the rest of her life, that's for sure.
Yeah. Hopefully she's got good insurance.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And lastly, this one's Disney Cruise Line worker, a crew member is arrested for inappropriate child videos or pictures. I'm not going to say what it is because I want to get in trouble, but yeah, he got busted for that. And it seems like people are always like, oh, that's so disgusting how a person who works for Disney did that. I'm like, that's probably why they got the job at Disney to begin with. So, I mean, I don't think it's just randomly Disney's popping out all these child predators. I think the child predators are unknowns to police at the time, and then they get the position to do that. So,
Right.
shame on him. We're gonna head to Disney Resorts Abroad. Walt Disney Studios Park at Disneyland Paris to be renamed to Disney Adventure World. I know. I've heard Disney has been changing a lot of stuff because people are, no offense, but people are stupid and they get confused really easily. And they might buy a ticket to Disney Studios in Florida, but they go to Disneyland Paris. And if it's something so too similar in a name, then you run into a problem. So,
Right, exactly. And I think it all depends on what part of the world you're in, where I think
yes.
in Disney, like Disneyland Paris is called Disneyland Paris, and Disneyland is just called Disneyland, opposite
Disneyland.
parts of the world. So when
Correct.
there's articles that say, oh, they redid the Disneyland Hotel, I'm like, no, they didn't. They added a new DVC tower. And then you look, oh, it's at Disneyland
Disneyland
Paris, and they
Paris.
call it
Yep.
Disneyland. It's like, oh, wait, we need to, like, I get with, kind of making everything fluid and kind of having somewhat the same
Right.
names, but
Yes.
we got to, kind of
Figure something
have
out.
some type of distinguishing factors here, even if it is throwing the name of where it's at,
Right.
after the name.
I think sometimes they say that as well because they want people to search it out because they're like, oh, Disneyland. Because like I told Connor from Con Con's Cantina today, I was like, I can book a trip right now for me, the wife, and the one kid. We wouldn't take the baby to Disneyland Paris. And we could go for a week to Disneyland Paris, probably for cheaper than Disneyland.
Then did like for how many days at Disneyland?
A week.
Oh, yeah. You mean a week at Disneyland Paris, which is cheaper, a week at Disneyland
Yeah,
Paris or
Disneyland Paris, hands down.
Disneyland? Yeah. I mean, and especially over there, it's just cheaper. And I think it's just due to
Well, I know someone that
where
went
it's
there and
at, and where Disneyland's in California,
it's also
higher taxes.
and everything else. There's all so much other stuff you could go to as a tourist. Like you don't have to be you know what I mean? Like you could go to
Right.
the Hollywood sign, you could go to La Brea Tar Pits, you could go to one of the many museums they have down there. It's not it's
Right.
limitless. I mean,
Oh
obviously
yeah.
you could go to a bunch of places in
In Paris as well.
Paris as well, but I do feel like people kind of draw themselves to, the other stuff.
Right. Well, and with it being cheaper to be in Disneyland Paris, just for everything, just
Yeah.
vacations in general, I'm sure the vac it's like anything, because it's going to be an international flight. Probably your flight's going to cost more than everything else.
I don't know. I've seen some pretty cheap deals going over there, so you never know.
Right.
But I will say, we were just talking about changing the name, and yet they do have an Avengers campus there, which they're going to have a new nighttime show there at the Avengers campus, at Disney's Adventure World Park at Disneyland Paris. So, They have the name and a concept art reveal for Disney Adventure World Park Lake expansion at Disneyland Paris. So it seems like they're trying to make this. It's probably not even just the name change like we thought. It's probably partially they're trying to get people to go, and it's acting like it's a new area. So you actually look it up. It says Disney Adventure Park. So that makes a little bit more sense now. Ride vehicle toys themed to Jungle Cruise, Aquatopia, and more coming to Tokyo Disney Resort, which I wish we had Aquatopia here. I do know they used to have the boats, but not anymore.
Right. And the toys look awesome. It's the, like, bathwater toys. You pull the string and they kind of, you know, go forward, but it's in the ride vehicles.
Really?
Hopefully they put it on Shop Disney or something because it looks awesome.
Tim, and just for everyone listening, Tim did to get those for himself and not for his kid.
Oh, 100%. I'll get two packs. One for
him. Light Up Peter Pan Big Ben Popcorn Bucket being released for grand opening of Fantasy Springs in Tokyo Disney Sea. Man, they get the coolest stuff, man. Yeah, what is up with that?
I mean, we're starting to get some cool ones, but they've always had the majority of most of the popcorn buckets, cooler popcorn buckets over there.
They're just so lucky, man. It's incredible.
Right. And I can't remember if it's Tokyo Disney Seas or one of them over there where they have a lot of different flavor popcorns as well, and it's like a big thing over there.
Yes, it is. I think that is Tokyo Disney Sea.
Yeah, I can't remember which one it is.
Because Tokyo Disney Sea is also the one where they went viral a bunch of times online for the guy that was playing the Little Mermaid song.
Yeah.
On with the cleaning equipment, which is just a speaker. It's all it is. I think it's just like a button that plays on the thing when he hits it.
So on the trash can.
Yeah. But they got a lot of cool stuff over there. And then Marvel Season of Superheroes is returning to Hong Kong Disneyland with new drone show and daytime show. These drone shows are kind of getting out of control. Every time we talk, they're creating a new drone show.
Right. I mean, have you seen a bad drone show? I mean, I've never seen a drone show in person.
I haven't seen one in person, but the ones I've seen online have been pretty amazing.
Right. Exactly.
So I will give them that. On to the regular piles we normally do, and we're going to get this knocked out. We're running along as usual, but there's just so much to cover. DVC cabins have been installed at Disney's Fort Wilderness at Walt Disney World, which we've been waiting for that for a minute, but we got it finally. Communicore Hall dancing lights testing at Epcot, which I think we mentioned they were putting them up last week, so they're moving pretty quick on that.
Yep.
We got our first look at Tiana's Bayou Adventure headband. Two new stores have been announced for Tiana's Bayou Adventure and Magic Kingdom. We got a detailed look inside the windows for Critter Co-op and more Tiana's Bayou Adventure updates.
So that's one of the stores, is the Critter Co-op, which is weird because they announced the Disneyland, the two stores, almost a month ago, and they just barely did it at Disney World, and they're, you know, farther ahead. So I don't.
And did you actually see the cool story about who gets to ride the ride first at Disney World?
Yeah, I saw that.
So for those that don't know, apparently Tiana's story was based loosely on this woman who started her own restaurant in Louisiana, and her family will get to be the first ones that get to ride Tiana's Bayou, which I thought was an awesome gesture, especially because Disney probably made a lot of money. You know, a lot of people say they don't like the movie, but I was actually pleasantly surprised when I sat down to watch it for the first time a couple years ago. I never got to finish it because the kid hated it, but it was actually a really fun story and not what I thought it was. So nice. Really cool story. Showed her wearing a hard hat. They took a bunch of pictures with her with a couple of Imagineers. So it's really awesome that she's going to get to get experience the ride.
Right.
And lastly, in Walt Disney World, Gaston fountain leak repaired after 4 months at Disney World. I don't know how they get away with it, but they do. And Gaston, I wish we had Gaston like they do in Disney World, because he makes the best videos. He is snarky. And I've only seen him break character one time when he was being touched inappropriately and he asked this lady to leave. And the cast member almost kicked her out of the park, which I wish he would have, because you could tell how uncomfortable he was. And they were like, you know, making it look like, oh, well, don't be a baby. And he's just like, no, it's not appropriate. So I'd appreciate it if you leave. And I'm like, oh, wow. But normally he's a fun loving, happy go lucky kind of guy. And yeah, it's kind of cool that his fountain's fixed so you could go see him over there. Cause I believe that's where he meets, right?
Yeah, I think it's like a little courtyard area. And depending on what type of day, he'll be in one of the corners in a shaded part.
Yeah. And he's lucky he gets to go to Shaded Park because he is a face character. So he usually has to look very similar to Gaston. And he does look pretty good. I'm not going to lie. They cast that very well. On to Disneyland. This is the big one. Tim sent me the message. I was asleep. I didn't get it. But Disneyland Forward theme park expansion has been approved by Anaheim City Council. It came through at what time, Tim?
I think it was 1:30 in the morning. The whole council meeting lasted for 8.5 hours with probably 7 hours, 45 minutes of just on Disneyland Forward, because obviously it was a normal Anaheim council meeting. So they had, you know, closed session beginning with, and then other things on the agenda as well. And this was the last thing on the agenda because they knew it was going to take a long time. When I tuned into it, because I completely forgot about it, and all of a sudden I got on YouTube and it's like, hey, check this out. I'm like, oh, cool. And there's over 100 people that have signed up for public comment. They each get 3 minutes each, and I watched it for about an hour and a half just on public comment. And when I went to bed, it was 10:30, and they were only on, I think, person number 4. They had 45 left to go. So there was a lot of people there voicing whether their support or concerns about now, it.
What was the general consensus on the questions they were asking? Like, what was their concern or positive take on the addition?
A lot of them were cast members that were there that were obviously in support of it, which naturally you're going to get that because it's in the area where obviously the park is at. So whether they told them to go down there or they went on their own will, I didn't hear any cast members speak, you know, harshly of it or criticize it at all. But most of them were residents in apartments on the west side of the resort over there, because that's where the expansion is heading towards, more so that area. So, you know, there are the general concerns with it: more people, more traffic, more noise, you know, yada 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 on it. So, but the big thing that everyone kept bringing up, and it wasn't really as far as I know, don't quote me on it, was a part of Disney taking Magic Way, and instead of being the city takes care of it, that it would be Disney will buy it from the city and the city would abandon it, and basically Disney would take care of it. And a lot of people, it was funny, they lived in apartments by it and they're like, oh, you know, when I was growing up or my grandkids, you know, we could walk down Magic Way and get to the Disneyland resort, and now they're going to take that away from us. It's like, well, hold on, wait. So you go to the park, but then you're mad at the park because the route that you take, they're taking away, but you use that route to go to the park. So how do you want it then? You know, and so it's like, oh, they're a bad company. It's like, okay, but you use that to go to, but you still support the park. You support the park even more because you go there, which means I'm sure you buy stuff once you get inside there. So, but I know that I'm pretty sure, like I said, that wasn't a part of it. This is just a more of approving the zoning and everything from parking lots to go to, build amusement park and whatnot on top of it, amusement park, hotels, whatever on top of it, or in those parking lots that were just zoned as parking lots. And so this is, they have one more vote next meeting to basically like finalize and approve it.
Yes.
Really approve it, because it's gone through the planning commissions. They gave it their okay. Now city council gave it their okay. And then with it being such a big project, the next meeting they will vote again. And like we were talking before, is pretty much everyone knew it was going to pass because of just the change in the city council in the past handful of years. But it passed unanimously 7-0. And a lot of people were surprised that it did pass unanimously, that they figured that one or two council members wouldn't vote in favor of it, but they did. So even if they didn't vote in favor, it'd still be 5-2, it'd still pass. But they're surprised that it was unanimous on it. So that's good for Disneyland. And now on to, you know, on to the next vote. And then at least it was a big hurdle cleared initially for that Disneyland Forward expansion to come to fruition.
Yeah, and we knew that this was going to happen. Like, it was going to get approved. They waited until basically the council was on their side. We got Run Disney. Council,
yeah.
We got Run Disney back. We got a lot of stuff. And, you know, it is what it is. But I will say, I mean, personally, I really think that the cast members showed up because they basically know if they expand this is a lot more jobs. It's a lot more hours, because you got to think people don't know it's a union job for the most part. The way it works, even if you're not in a union, the way the seniority works is like a union. So what they don't tell you is, so let's say, for instance, Tim and I work there, and Tim wants to go work in Batu. He wants to go work in Batu. And guess what? Tim can't, because if he does, he loses his seniority. Tim doesn't want to lose his seniority. Well, this gives you an opportunity when you go to a new place. You could actually probably get hired on at a higher level, and it'll save you like a lot of headache, because you're not going to be going to a different land. You're literally going to be going to a new whole section, and it'll be worth that change. And you'll probably start, you know, if you're a day one person, there you go. So,
right, exactly. It's just like when California Adventure opened up, you had everyone on Disneyland, that same thing, where you're going over to this whole new land. Yeah, you're going to lose seniority over at Disneyland, but, well, guess what? All of a sudden, that's...
you're number one.
Disney California Adventure isn't going to go anywhere anytime soon, so now you're top cat over there when it opened up. So you had a lot of people that made the jump to that just because, hey, if I stick this out, then I got seniority over here, and where it takes me a little longer over at Disneyland to do it, or here, I can move up the ranks a little bit faster.
Yeah, and I agree. I think it's a great idea, and I think it's great for everybody, because it's like, you know, like we said, you're going to be able to go do what you want to do. It's a great opportunity to learn and start. And so I'm excited for this, what they're going to do. It's going to take a minute, so people, please be patient, because it's not instantaneous. It's going to take probably a lot longer than you even could imagine. So,
it's a 30-year plan.
It's a 30-year plan, and they're not going to be taking this lightly. It's going to be a lot of land development and planning on that portion of it. So, I think a lot of people are kind of under the impression, oh, look, it's $30 million right now. It's like, no, it's, you know, it's a billion, some whatever billion it is, over 30 years. And that's not, it is not a very quick process. So,
right. Yeah. Especially when they got to rip stuff up to put it back down.
Exactly. So, both of us are very happy. And, another thing that we're going to be happy for is Fantasmic Showtimes have announced the return to Disney on May 24th with two showings, one at 9 and one at 10:30. It's been a while.
Do you know what May 24th is?
What's May 24th?
Besides a Friday. They've strategically brought this back, had to. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So Friday's the 24th. The reason I know is it's a golf tournament that day for our company. And, yep. So there you go. So it's probably going to be a little bit busy just because of the holiday weekend. And it's going to be a lot more busy because now you have the return of Fantastic.
I will tell you, no. Remember, I went to Disney 2 years in a row for Memorial Day weekend, and it was not busy.
Yeah, but I mean, with Fantastic,
it'll be crazy busy with Fantastic. Oh yeah,
with the holiday weekend as well. I mean, I could say when I went with spring break, it wasn't that busy, but then because I left the park at 3-4 o'clock every day, but it was, trust me, it was really busy on that. And I think a lot more people are coming in for those 3-day holiday weekends.
Yeah.
Because when you went, it was before COVID, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. So if you go there, because we were kind of thinking about it and this popped up, I'm like, nope. I'm sorry, because you're going to have the people that, guess what? At 8 o'clock, when they got rope dropped, they're going straight there and they are camping out.
Yep, all day long. And I will say, when we went right before COVID, we went in April in 2019 when my son was not even a year old yet. And we went to Fantasmic and we actually met these wonderful people and we all sat there just before it started. It wasn't crowded. No one was pushing. It was a fun experience. So it is a good memory for me because I remember when it first started when I was a kid and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. So I do hope my kids get to see it. You know, they are, my son doesn't remember because he's too little. So the next time we go, maybe we'll get to watch it. We'll see.
Right. Well, I'll just watch the live stream of everyone doing it on the 24th.
I mean, I could probably do that too on the YouTube app.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm doing. You could do whatever.
So I'm going to do a couple things right now, right together. So we got a full list of 2024 Pixar Fest food and beverage for Disneyland Resort. We got the Better Together, a Pixar Palace Celebration Parade times announced for Disney's California Adventure. And we got the new Pixar Fest sculptures and character medallions in Disneyland Resort. What I have noticed is I've been seeing a ton of commercials, excuse me, for this Pixar Fest, like a lot. Yep. I think on Disney+/Hulu, I've seen probably 4 to 5 ads, and I've never seen those ads before. You know what I mean? It's right, crazy.
Exactly. I mean, they're really pushing it. From what I've heard, because right now there's Season of the Force going on, and I've heard that hasn't done that well. Granted, it's only in Tomorrowland and Batu, so that's kind of tough. But as far as the food and you know, a couple scenes and the droids walking around, is that's not bringing a lot of people there or holding or keeping them there, which is sad. But I think with Pixar Fest, it's across the whole resort, and they are really gearing up for it and really pushing it, because they did have it before, but I believe it was just in California Adventure.
Yeah,
it was just California Adventure. I think on that it was just in I think just like Pixar Pier type area, but I could be wrong. And with this Pixar Fest, is that they're even going to have like some of the food booths out there selling different food items as well. So
the big thing for me is the fact that, like you said, it's resort wide, but I also think people for the Star Wars stuff, a lot of people are just waiting for May 5th. You know what I mean?
Yep.
A lot of them are waiting for that kind of stuff to happen. So I don't think that they're going to, you know, people are going to forget about it. But I do think that is probably why they're pushing it so hard, because they are worried. They're like, hey, no one's coming to this. Like, what's going on?
Right. And get a a big push to say, hey, just because, you know, food and wine's done with doesn't mean that that's it at the resort. We got this going on. We got that going on. A lot of stuff coming for, and especially for Pixar, they got, you know, a new parade, new sculptures, you know, food and beverages around the whole resort. So there's still a lot going on with it. And I think it goes until, I want to say August, but I think I could be wrong with that.
It is a long one. I know that because they've been like, they're like, make your plans now. Because like, I haven't gotten an email from Disney in a very, 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 very long time. But in 1 week, I got one for DVC. I got one for this Pixar Fest that Disney's calling you back. And then I got one for a survey where if you qualify and you complete the interview online, you get like a $25 gift card to Disney. I don't have time for that. Some people say it takes like an hour and a half to do it. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. But, you know, they obviously see something wrong that you and I don't see. So.
Right. And the thing is they're not going to give you a $5 gift card for, you know, just a couple minutes. They go and they want you to work it or earn it. And Pixar Fest is April 26th through August 4th.
That's a long one.
That. So that's a while.
I wonder how long the food's going to last though. Cause I think they might end that before that whole thing goes. Maybe, you know, you never know if it sells good. Maybe it won't.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think it would be there the whole time. Cause you know, Food and Wine Festival too. They had that there. I mean, granted it's for it, but normally most of them, if they have it, it'll stay there the whole time, especially if they have the booths out there. Granted, it's not hard to move them back and forth, but I think they will.
I hope they do, because I mean, I don't know who they pay to cook some of these foods, but man, their food is freaking delicious. Like, it's my favorite thing. I'm a fatty, so I love to eat, but it is interesting to see like the cool foods they bring into these events. It is mind blowing.
Right. Exactly.
Next, we're going to go. This one was creepy to see. The loop was removed from the Incredicoaster during refurbishment at Disney's California Adventure. It looks really weird. Weird.
It does.
Yeah.
But it's back and the crane is gone. So.
Yep. No moss. Next. Custom plush character headbands are coming to Disneyland Resort soon. I saw people talking about these. It was just kind of like, okay, whatever. No big deal. But, I mean, obviously, I guess it is what you make of it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because you could customize it. I believe it came over from, I want to say Tokyo Disney. I can't remember. But the only thing, so it's funny. I'm like, oh, where are they going to have these at? It's going to be Mad Hatter on Main Street in Disneyland. And Bing Bong's in California Adventure. They're not going to have it in Downtown Disney. So the only way, as of right now, the only way that you can get them is you have to buy a ticket to go into one of the parks. Like, ooh, that's smart. Because if you get it at World of Disney, then you don't got to go in. So, but it's cool. It's something that you could customize and wear and not just, okay, which one do I, you know, pick from? A preset year, so
Disneyland Resort performers officially vote to unionize. We talked about earlier. Guest is suing Disneyland Resort because Goofy fell on her. Awesome.
There you go.
Congratulations. I do know that actually he did fall completely on her, but it wasn't his fault. But yeah. And then lastly, Disneyland Magic Key holder banned for a year after reselling tickets. So he sold them on eBay like a dum-dum. Yep.
It's against, you can't do it. It says right there on the back of it. So he bought tickets for Sweetheart Night. They came down with COVID. Him and his wife couldn't go. So he's like, hey, I got these tickets. Let me give them to someone or, you know, offer them up to somebody. He's like, I sold them for face value. And all of a sudden, I didn't get any notice, and I saw that I couldn't go to the parks for a year. And so I guess he contacted like the magic keys, and then there's like a hotline or something, or I'm sure it's an email or something that you could like fight it. And they upheld it. I guess even tried to contact the Ken Potrock, president of Disneyland, and he's not going to do anything because he doesn't know. He's just going to say, "Oh, well, do whatever this." And then there was a third one, and I can't remember what it was, but it's like a third party, and they, you know, try to help him out, and Disney said no. So, yeah, he can't. Banned for a year, and he's like, I've had an annual pass since 1990, but then again, I mean, it stinks because I'm sure there may have been other ones on eBay at the time. But at the end of the day, just like the sports betting that we were talking about earlier, professional players, if it's in the rules and you do it and you break it, there you go. And it says on it, not for resale and whatnot, or not for resale, not transferable. Yep, non-transferable, and not for resale. So, yeah, not good.
No. Well, that's all we got for you this week. It was jam packed full of stuff. We want to thank you guys for coming through. We greatly appreciate it, for always listening. Almost 2 hour podcast, 1 hour and 30 minutes. But we want to thank you guys all for always coming through. For the FOMOcast, I'm Chris.
And I'm Tim.
And we will see you guys next time.